Let's pray as we begin. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the gift of your Son, the greatest gift ever that we could possibly imagine. Lord, we just pray today that you'll help us to take things out of our minds that distract us away from understanding more about you, and help us to figure out ways personally how to apply these verses to our lives so that we might become more and more like Jesus until that day we see him face to face. For in Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 11 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Verse 21, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Well, I think the theme of today's passage is tests for children of the devil and children of God. And you find that in verse 10 that starts right before this passage that we read. It's listed there. And I think the key verse in the passage is verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. In our world today, what is hard for you to identify? To know what is what? Ever tried to pick a ripe watermelon out of a vat? I got one this week. I went to Walmart, they didn't have any. Aldi's didn't have any. Hawkins Market didn't have any. And just north of Sullivan, I found one. I found a place. And Bruce and I were together. And we decided to use our methods to figure out whether this is ripe or not. So we pounded on it. We pounded on a bunch of them. We looked at the stem. We looked at how heavy it was, how bright it was. And, you know, those are the methods that people use. But, you know, still it's kind of a 50-50 chance, though, isn't it, whether or not we get it right or not. But after the service today, I invite you to come to the gym. Jenny Dilley's going to cut this up for us, and you'll get to see whether or not Bruce and I did a good job. It might be all white. It might be all seeds. We don't know. All right, no seeds, yeah. Okay, seedless. We'll get that right. We'll see how we did. But it's hard to know sometimes what is right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. Not long ago, Cindy and I, that's my wife Cindy over there, we were on a plane and we were traveling from Frankfurt, Germany to Tel Aviv. And when we were on that plane, there were several Jewish couples, young couples with children. And four of the young men had these long tassels hanging from their clothes, and they were all almost dragging on the floor. And their wives had these beautiful wigs because these were symbols of righteousness. You know, for the men, they wear tassels. And the women, they don't allow their men to see their real hair. Or they don't allow the world to see their real hair. They just show these wigs to the world. And so then there were other people there with all kinds of other headdresses, little caps on their heads, some light with no tassels, and Jewish women with no wigs. So we couldn't tell who's righteous, who isn't righteous in this plane, just on based on how they wanted us to see. John told us in verse 10 that we can identify children of God by being those who do what is right and those who love their brothers. Of course, we know doing what's right is knowing Jesus as our Savior, but there's a lot of other stuff we do too that's right to signify that we know Jesus in a public way. Since our Heavenly Father loves us, there should be a family resemblance in His children. We should be like Him. Now, God knows our hearts. He knows whether or not we know Him or not, whether we're born again. You know what, though? Our next door neighbor doesn't know. The only way for him to find out without talking to us is if the life of God is revealed through us to him. Not just by what we say, but by how we live. Over and over again, Gospel John, 1 John, John urges his readers to love God and to love one another. It's one of those one another things he tells people to do over and over again. Love one another. He also warns them against loving the wrong stuff. You know, you're supposed to love God and not love stuff that is against God. Like loving the world that is in agreement that they're the enemy of God. Or a sinful lifestyle. We're not to love that either. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. I'm not supposed to love that, chase after that. And Jesus had told his disciples, Bob read this for us, in John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So loving one another is the heart of the Christian life. Yeah, there's truth there too, but love. It marks us as true followers of Jesus Christ. But what's this love supposed to look like? How do we define it? How do we recognize it? Well, today we're going to look at four identifying marks of God-pleasing love. Four identifying marks of God-pleasing love. The first identifying mark is that love is not murder. Verses 11 through 12. It says in verse 11, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Now it's clear in 1 John that John is writing to Christians. He's not writing to unsaved people. He's writing to people who know Jesus. And he was aware that the gospel had been shared with them and they had received the gospel. And now he emphatically says things with pronouns. You should watch the pronouns especially through this whole passage. He says, we or us should love. And the word there for love is agape in Greek, God's special kind, the highest form of love. one another. We should be totally different if we belong to Jesus. And then John reminds us of the perfect example, the original example, of the actions of a child of the evil one, and his name was Cain, who brutally killed, murdered his brother Abel. And the Greek word there is butchered or slaughtered his brother. It's not like, you know, yeah, we were playing baseball and I threw the ball at him too hard and it slipped off and hit him in the head. No, it wasn't an accident. This was on purpose. He brutally killed his brother, murdered him. And it also tells us in verse 12 why he did it. It was why he did it, because Cain's deeds were evil and Abel's were righteous. Plain and simple. By faith, Abel offered a sacrifice that was better than Cain's. And he did it, it was better because it was by faith. Abel trusted God and what God said. He believed that what God asked them to do was correct. He agreed that God knew best. He acted like God deserved his obedience, like we should do too. All these things are things we should be thinking of too. And Cain saw what his brother was doing. He saw God's reaction. He got jealous. He let this hatred dwell in him, grow in him, and he killed him. Murder is not an example in any way of loving someone. You should never rationalize, you know, putting somebody away because of hatred, because they don't do what we think they should do. So that's the first identifying mark. Love is not murder. Second identifying mark, love should never be confused with hatred. Verses 13 through 15. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So in verses 13 through 15, John sets up the second contrast that we have in this passage between those who love their brother and between those who hate their brother. You know, hatred, if you haven't noticed, hatred for Christians is kind of normal out there. It's kind of normal. And we shouldn't be surprised by it. But what isn't normal is when a believing brother hates another brother, a believing sister hates another believing sister. We don't love people by being mean to them or you know, making fun of them or down or belittling them because they're doing something that's better than what we're doing. A person who does that abides in death, meaning they do not have eternal life. Eternal life is by grace through faith. It's not by works. So this person in her heart is a murderer too, because murder is the result of unchecked hatred. And again, the pronouns are emphatic in these verses, verse 14. We, as opposed to them, we know, we should know that we have eternal life. We can know because God has allowed us to love our brothers, to love our brothers. My grandson James loves his older brother, John. We were there yesterday and we asked him, John, or James, what's going to be different when John gets back? He said, well, I think I'm going to ask my mom to kick him out of my room because I want my room for myself. You know, we got to share a room. You know, James loves his brother, but there are boundaries. You know, it's kind of, he's getting on my nerves, Mom, so I need to, anyways. But we know that we have eternal life. We know that we have passed over from death to life because of our love for our brothers. That doesn't mean we agree with them all the time, or they don't ever get underneath our skin at times. But we love that guy. We love that gal because they belong to Jesus. It's not that I think or hope that I have eternal life either. I can know that I have eternal life. He who has the Son of God, that's Jesus, has life. He who doesn't have the Son of God does not have life. So love should never be confused with hatred. Hatred is a normal thing, a way of rebelling against God for people who don't know Jesus. And we should try to get it out of our lives. Stop hating stuff, people. Third identifying mark. Love involves laying down our lives. Look at verses 16 and 17. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? So the third identifying mark is love involves laying down our lives for our brothers. So it's first of all identifying the need, and then secondly responding to it. You know, not many of us really will be asked to die for our faith, to give our lives rather than just taking lives. But most of us will have the opportunity to give to those who are in need, to meet needs of other people who are around us, with Jesus being our model. Of course, Charlie Kirk could know that he had eternal life because he had put his faith in Jesus Christ. And he believed that Jesus was his Savior, and he demonstrated that every time he went into one of these campuses, you know, to share with kids about who Jesus was, and take them on, and knock away some of those things they thought about God that were not right, and put his life on the line. Love involves laying down our lives. Charlie Kirk laid his life down for people who were not even his friends, were his enemies. Many rewards wait for him in heaven. Fourth identifying mark, loving in deed and truth. That's verses 18 through 24. I'll just start out by reading verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. To love in word means to just talk about a need. Just talk about a need. But to love in deed means to actually do something about it. People are really attracted by genuine love and repelled by the artificial variety. You can tell after a while whether a guy just makes promises. You know, if he doesn't keep second, third, fourth promise, but he talks all the time, that's not genuine love. And John mentions in verses 19 through 24 four wonderful experiences that confirm that our love has been in deed and in truth. It's genuine, and God recognizes it as genuine, and he actually rewards us. First of all, it's assurance. That's the first experience, assurance, in verses 19 through 21. And this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. A believer's relationship with others affects his relationship with God. A Christian who practices love for his brothers grows in his understanding of God's truth, and his heart is filled with confidence before God. And he is able to obey without shame or fear. It gives us assurance. It gives us that rock solid stuff in our heart. So, no, I know that I belong to Jesus. Jesus has changed me. I used to think this way, But now I'm going to do this because I know that that's what Jesus wants me to do. And because he owns me, that's what I'm going to do. And I want to obey him. I want to serve him. The second thing is answered prayer. Look at verse 22. And receive from him. We have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Love for our brothers produces confidence before God. It's like this confidence, the word there is like boldness before God. You know, if you were bold as a Roman citizen, then you would go to these meetings and you would state what you want. You would ask for what you want, what you need. Because you knew you could do that because you could speak your mind as a citizen. And it'll affect our prayer life that way. We'll pray according to God's will because we know him. We know what God wants, and then we'll pray according to God's will, not shying away from asking God for things, and God will answer those kind of prayers. We get to see those wonderful things. You know, my youngest grandson, Pete, was born with a hole in his heart. It's kind of a new thing for Swains. We never had any problems with our hearts that way, physical problems. And for 2 years, he's 2 years old now. And, you know, they were going to do an operation on his heart. You know, the heart is like the size of a strawberry. You know, they were going to operate on that little heart because it had a hole between. But they said, maybe if we just wait, it'll grow shut. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed every day for this little guy. And God has answered our prayers. That hole has grown shut. You know, the doctors can't do anything about it. They say, you just have to wait. It's all up to God. And all up to God's people, really. They're going to pray and ask God to heal this little boy. It's really a lot of fun. And last month, he came to our house, and we had a campfire together outside. And we picked cherry tomatoes together. We had a great time. So assurance is one of the blessings we receive. Answered prayer is another thing. And another thing is he grows our faith. We agree by faith with him, according to verse 23. And this is command to believe. The Greek word is pistuo. It's one of the first ones you learn, pistuo. We believe. Believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. We believe the gospel more as we walk with him more. We believe by faith. We see people coming to know Jesus as we walk with Jesus. And finally, verse 24, abiding in him and him in us is the last experience, the wonderful experience we have. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us. To abide means to stay or to remain. The Greek word is meno, to stay or remain. We obey God's word and we stay away from sin. And each member of the Trinity is involved in the love life of a believer. The Father commands us. He commands us. He tells us to love one another. The Son gave his life an example of love for us. And the Spirit of God lives in us and provides the love that we need. He gives us the power to love people who are many times unlovable. Wonderful experiences we have with that confirm our love has been indeed and truth. Yeah, I had an opportunity to learn more about this on Thursday when I was here. Jerry Robinson, one of our trustees, was out riding on the lawnmower, the zero turn we have, you know, mowing our acreage here. And Bruce was with me, and we both had our weed eaters, and we were doing the ditches and around the buildings and around the trees. Everywhere where there were weeds, man, we were getting them. And I did along Firestone Road, and I was finishing up down in the ditch out by the intersection of Firestone Road and 224. And you know, anytime a buggy comes with a horse, you got to shut off your weed eater, because the weed eater will spook that horse. And that's the last thing you want, is a spooked horse running out on 224. And so I saw the buggy coming. I was down in the ditch doing that bank, facing that sign that's out there for our neighbors over here. And that horse, you know, horses have a mind of their own. Learn that. If they don't want to go, they don't go. But if they really want to go, it's really hard to stop them. So the guy tried to stop this horse, and he did not want to stop. And there were semis coming both ways. And he was holding back on those reins on that horse. And the horse was rearing up because he wanted to go. And then he was turning sideways. And no, wait a minute, he was turning towards me. You know, I'm out in the ditch. So you imagine the horse and the buggy's going to come down and run me over, even though I'm like 20 feet down the ditch. But then I thought, oh, there's even a worse thing. Because he also then went the other way and turned the buggy the other way. And this guy was standing on the front of that cart trying to keep that horse from going. The last thing I thought, well, what's going to happen, maybe, is that horse is going to go out in front of the semi. The semi is going to hit the horse, and the horse is going to come on top of me with the buggy. And the last thing I'm going to see is the horse's tail inside of that horse. And then the semi is going to run over all of us down in that ditch. We're all going to be smashed here. But I had just time to pray. Just time to pray. And somehow, at the last minute, that horse calmed down. And there was no accident. There's no dead preacher laying out there squeezed underneath the horse and the semi. So, assurance. You know, how do you get these things? How do you grow? How do you get assurance? How do you get examples of answered prayer? How do you grow in your faith? How do you learn to abide in him? You walk with him. You follow Jesus every day of your life. And he teaches you these things practically. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful experience to follow Jesus. Well, maybe today you are a better person than I am as far as picking out watermelons. And you have other things. She's going to cut that. She's going to wash it and cut it, so it'll be available for anybody who wants it. And so maybe you're better. Maybe you have a better process of going through figuring out what is a good watermelon, what isn't a good watermelon. But maybe there's other things in your life that you can't tell the difference between what is good and what is bad. Or maybe you have problems recognizing who is a Christ follower and who isn't, because you don't see a lot of fruit in their lives. You don't talk with them. Or maybe people have trouble recognizing you as belonging to Jesus because of your lack of love for people, your lack of growth as a Christian. And the Holy Spirit will help each one of us to grow by faith through grace as we follow him. We can be thankful for that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the gift of your Son, the wonderful way that you work in our lives every day so that we become more and more like Jesus throughout our entire lives. Lord, help us to depend upon you. Help us keep our eyes open to see how you're working and to trust you more. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Please stand with us as we sing our closing hymn, number 295, Revive Us Again.